maybe on and see what the Holy Spirit has to do with us this morning. Are there any praise reports, first of all?
That was a praise report that I told you about.
Tell us.
With the one revelation I showed you, told you about. And I pulled down the sheet off of the computer and read that.
Yeah, but they didn't hear you.
I know yesterday
it was something. Well, I went home and I said, the Lord's been really speaking very loudly through some of the things that I'm getting. A lot of it's coming from Elijah. And there was another one. This came from Elijah Pass. And the gentleman who wrote it was stating a fact that if you seek knowledge, that's Gnosticism, and instead of seeking the grace of God, and he said when you continually press the Lord for an answer, says that's not of God. You should be seeking His grace. And I said, guilty. I've been seeking for an answer, and it's grace. He may not give an answer. He may not give me understanding. It's okay. I need to let that go because I was guilty of that. I was putting knowledge about the Lord. But the big thing he showed me was anger as a revelation of idolatry. And I knew I had an angry root. And he showed me what the anger meant is that when somebody does something and it disagrees with a thought pattern that I have and I get angry, it's idolatry because I'm saying that trying to justify my thoughts, my opinion is okay and I have a right to it. But the anger, there was another source of the anger which is very personal and I won't go there. And that's what he was showing me that anger is a revelation of idolatry. So I needed the revelation of the anger because there's an angry root and the Lord was just stripping it this morning and showing me down into the depths of it. And I'm not sure where to go from there, but instead of seeking knowledge about it, I'm asking for the grace. I really was pressing too hard for an understanding.
Do you have a copy of that article? Okay, make a couple of extra because I have someone that is dealing in the same corner. And
I didn't bring that one with me.
That's okay. It doesn't have to be this minute.
Okay.
Just remember that it may be a very powerful tool for others as well. See, it says in the scripture that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, I remember taking that from the wrong direction. That I needed knowledge.
Yes, isn't that what I said last night?
Yeah.
I couldn't understand why that wasn't happening with my brother.
Right.
And there I go home and I took this sheet off and I go,
okay.
Didn't take God long.
Right.
And there
he gave you the answer.
He gave me the answer quick as a flash.
I had the same problem. I remember I told you with one of the members of my family. And year after year, this irritation was just getting to me. And I it would start off early in the morning. And the Holy Spirit one morning said to me, why don't you just lift this situation up to me as a sacrifice unto me, instead of being angry and sputtering for the next half hour. And I remember going into my car, because I had to go somewhere, and I'm talking to the Lord about it. And I said, Lord, you really want me to just... He says, have you been successful at the complaint level? Have I been successful at the complaint? For who? If I was successful for the enemy, yes, he had the chance to use my mouth, and he had the chance to use my emotions, because I would be ripping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He said, why don't you just let it go and make it a sacrifice of praise for me? And watch what I do. Well, the first result, when I really did what they should have done, by rights they should have done it, but they didn't.
Mm.
So, by me doing what they should have done, it became a sacrifice. It became really worse than anything else because I was doing it out of anger. Okay? Now I'm doing the very same thing as a sacrifice to the Lord. And I said, Lord, this is really a fast, isn't it? He says, yes, you are. You're doing somebody else's work that should be bright enough to do. But their disability, I've allowed so that you can see yourself. Don't like what I see, Lord. Okay? So now, for the first 2 weeks, I went ritualistically and did what that person should have done and corrected the problem every day. And every day, the anger level started to be chopped up a little piece at a time. It was like, you know, taking a breaking it up, a little section. At the end of 2 weeks, there was a new joy that came in. And the joy was that I was doing this unto the Lord. I was doing it for Him. And guess what? The person began to change. Get a clue. The person began to change. Why? Because I did this as a sacrifice unto the Lord.
The other thing is in this article.
Oh.
He said, what about the people that were standing in front of the cross looking at Jesus? Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Uh-huh.
And he said, do you think the Father forgave them? He said, absolutely, the Father forgave them.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't know. So the grace poured out from the Father over the people that are standing there watching
yes.
Jesus die on the cross.
Yes.
Because Jesus asked for it. But they just working on God's grace, grace that was in there. But they had to appropriate the reason for the death on the cross personally.
Yeah.
But the grace was already there. The forgiveness was already done.
Yeah.
He forgave them and he forgot the sin. I mean, he forgave it already.
Yep.
Yes. I never put those two together. And he just, that followed that statement right in the same article.
Kind of cool, huh?
Yes. Yes.
This morning I heard, the demons will mock their enemies. Who are the enemies of the demons? We are. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit is in us that was in Christ Jesus. Who mocked Jesus? Constantly the enemies, using different people, even his own brothers. John chapter 7. His own brothers did not believe in and they mocked him. And I thought, okay. So they're going to mock you because you have the same spirit. So who are they using? Different people, different individuals. For what? What's the purpose?
Destruction.
For destruction. How we respond will either cause more destruction or do what Jesus did on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not. They have no understanding. No realization of what they're doing to him or to me. Because the ones at the foot of the cross did not realize. The ones that are accusing and mocking you and me, are they realizing it?
No, they're not realizing that they're being used by the demons.
Have no clue. And one of the things that Doug brought up, he says, what do you expect a sinner to do?
Sin.
He's going to sin. If he's a mocker, it's just another sin, but it's no big deal. He's doing what is natural, correct? Well, is he going to throw insults at you? Absolutely, they threw insults at the Lord. They're going to throw insults at whom? Jesus Christ, in you. You're carrying the light. The darkness wants to capture it and make it, what? Go away. The next thing that I was reminded of happened just a few weeks, actually not a few weeks, a week or so ago. I shared it a little bit, forgot with whom. But I saw a particular individual that I did not know, total stranger to me. And they were actually focused on their looks. And they were facing a mirror, doing certain exercises. And this is what I heard in my heart. Are you aware of how much a negative spirit loves himself? And then he went to elaborate. How much of a demon spirit loves itself? I thought, oh my God. Lord, I didn't know we were going to go down this road. You mean to tell me that every demon is in love with itself? He says, absolutely. Every negative spirit is in love with itself.
They like to flaunt themselves.
They are totally proud. Okay? And they will do their utmost to show off what they are. Okay? Now, I'll give you an example. The Lord was showing me that I have people that I know in my life that have gone out of their way to change themselves in order to be more acceptable and more seductive in the outward appearances. And some of them play it to the hilt. It goes in degrees. And I said, Lord, how does that apply to... He says, it's a level of pride. Pride loves attention. So some people will actually go out of their way, and you'll see it in them. They're not aware of it. They have no clue that it's a negative force inside. You understand? But they're being used. And I thought, oh my goodness. That's a wake-up call. Now, there's nothing wrong with you looking well, and there's nothing wrong with you keeping yourself in a good physical condition. But if it becomes worship, there you go with your idol again. And see, when you spoke that word, anger is rooted in idolatry. That's a marvelous, marvelous revelation. But do you comprehend? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. So let's go to Ephesians 6:12, because that way there you'll get to have the Word of God so that you'll see that your battle is not against flesh and blood. I want to use the Amplified because, you know, sometimes just a couple of words kind of helps. Well, let's back it up to verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which His might provides. Where is it? Where is that might? Inside of us. How about if we let it sit dormant? It won't get used, will it?
Say 6:12.
I started at verse 10.
Oh,
I say we'll back it up to verse 10. Take a look, my friend. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which His, and of course the word boundless, might provides. Then it says, put on the whole armor. Well, if we need to put it on, that means we're not wearing it. Put on the whole armor. The armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies. Now, if God has already supplied it, what are we doing if we're not wearing it? Of course. that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. So what is he doing? He's deceiving and he strategizes. For a long time, I did not comprehend that until I read a book. And that book transformed my life. And it was a book written by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters. It was a wonderful book. It made me laugh.
No.
And in fact, I understand. Did you read it?
It's just a
title,
I guess.
No, it's quite a unique book.
It's a unique book.
Oh, you have
it. Yeah, I recommended that years ago.
Yeah.
It's not something new. But I remember the first time that I read that, I was like, oh my God. It opened up my eyes to understand how the enemy strategizes to bring destruction into my life and to bring destruction into those that I love. And it gave me, it's really like a comedy.
Yeah, it is.
And I understand that they're making a movie out of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I heard that on Trinity Broadcasting just in the past few weeks. So, you know, that will be an awesome tool, because these are all, it's really the story of a head honcho demon that has a whole bunch of little underlings under him. And he gets instructions, and obviously his interest is to destroy and kill the believer. And of course, every time he tries a new strategy, guess what? It usually backfires, because the believer is going to go back to God and begin to ask God for grace, and he gets grace, and then he gets mercy, and, you know, the enemy just loses another battle. But they're like, you know, spirits don't give up.
I said, well, let's try this one now.
Goes back to his boss and he picks up the phone. Okay, now we didn't get what we expected, so what do we do now? And it's a we situation, because there's several working together. And then he uses some of the scriptures to let you know that when a demon is cast out, seven others worse than itself come to help him to get back into his house. So when it says we are not fighting a battle against flesh and blood, it's real. Now, if your spiritual eyes start to open up and you start seeing this thing, whoa. Now, I remember my brother has been, let's say, filled with the Spirit. I can't tell you how many years, but it's been many years. It's 20-something years. In this past 6 months, it's the first time that he actually saw with his open eyes wide open, he saw the demon that's after him. Mm. And he called me up and he's rattled. He's literally rattled. You told me I would never, truly, I never thought it could. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it 3 times. I can't deny it anymore. And he begins to describe it. He says, you don't need to describe him. It's not important. I said, what's important is you saw him. Yeah, and he was in my bedroom. I said, and now what did you do? He says, I was furious. I said, good. What did you do? He says, I went after that thing with the blood of Jesus. And he says, the next thing you know, poof, it was gone. I said, then that shows you that you have authority and you used it. Yeah. He said, but you know what? I needed to see, I guess. I says, yes, welcome to the club, Thomas. Because we all have some of Thomas in us. Do all of us have Thomas in us?
We don't see how do we comprehend. I mean,
but we learn to trust. We learn to trust his word. That's why I'm taking it from the word, so that you see this has been written for us. St. Paul saw in that realm. He went in that realm. He describes to us what he saw. And what do we do? Oh, well, it's only for Paul. Or it's only for Gail, because, oh, well, Gail's all set. She's seen it. And it's for them. When it becomes a reality to me, then me can change. Amen?
Well, it's by...
Huh?
When he says... Where were you at?
Verse 11? You're in five there. Go to six. Is that just the storyline of the scriptures?
No, it's just the armor of God. He'll finally be strong in the Lord and His mighty power.
Okay.
All right. If you don't know how to be strong in the Lord and understand His mighty power, how can you be strong in the Lord and His mighty power?
You trust by faith. No different than Abraham. No different than any believer. We start by choosing to believe it. Okay? That He's already supplied that strength in us.
Ask Him. Ask Him. If you have trouble with that scripture, that's what I do. I ask. God, I don't quite see this. I need to see it. I need to have my eyes open to see it.
It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take stand against the devil's schemes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the full armor of God?
Helmet of salvation. See, why do you study the Word? If you want to know, you study the Word. He'll tell you all the details. And then the breastplate of righteousness, which are all done by faith. The shoes of the gospel of peace. So there's...
I have a problem with metaphors. Because metaphors are like Alice in Wonderland.
No. You're going to find it right down in a few more verses. You'll see the whole thing develop. If you just take it one step at a time, the gospel answers itself. Okay?
I think they're comparing it here, Victor, to a soldier.
Yeah, but it's spelled out.
Right, but I mean, what he's saying a metaphor, but they're using the equipment that a soldier would put on.
So you'll get a physical comparison, so you'll be able to understand what he's doing. And you'll catch on. It took me a while. Just one step at a time we learn. Okay? Verse 12 says what? We are not wrestling with flesh and blood. What is a wrestling match? If it's not body contact. Right? You're going to be touched by these forces. They're going to intentionally try to pull you down and destroy you. Contending only with physical opponents. Okay? So it's not just the physical things, it's spiritual things. But against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world's rulers. It doesn't say might be. It says, who are the world's rulers of this present darkness? Meaning, someday there's going to be what? The darkness is going to be what? It's going to be eliminated. Against the spirit forces and wickedness in heavenly spheres. Okay? Now, who's got the NIV? Read it. Verse 12.
For struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Okay. Verse 13. Therefore put on complete armor, that you may be able to resist, stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. What is the belt of truth? The Word of God. Having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and promptness and readiness produced by good news, which is the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering or the shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit wielded, which is the Word of God. In other words, as you declare God's Word, against your negative forces, against the negative thought patterns, against your negative responses, you're going to be able to bring them down. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit. What does that mean? Pray in tongues. With all manner of prayer and entreaty, that and to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, and also for me. That, now, why would Paul ask for prayer for himself?
He's
no Lone Ranger. And what was the grape picture that was shown? The cluster of grapes. Everyone is in this boat together. You're in the boat. You're in the boat. We're all in the boat together. And when we are interceding for one another, healing comes. Victory comes. And we can sustain each other. So, you know, when we realize, to go back to what I was trying to show you earlier, when the Holy Spirit was really saying to me, when these negative forces are in love with each other and in love with themselves, but their character traits are what you see in the world. Backbiting, gossiping, slander, all those things that you and I see in the world is the byproduct of the negative forces or the dark forces that have rebelled against God, and they're using people.
Maybe, Victor, if you try to picture like a knight in armor, because that's what he's using here. Picture in your mind a knight in armor and look at the different pieces and what those different pieces do. And he's telling you here how to compare that to the Word of God. This piece does this. For instance, the shield of faith. Well, that, from my understanding, that shield was a pretty big shield.
Oh, yes, it is.
So it's a huge shield. Yeah. So he's comparing my using my faith to a big shield. He's comparing here that I have a breastplate. What does the breastplate cover? My heart, my spirit, to having righteousness before God. So if you picture that knight and what his pieces look like, then say, what is God comparing that piece to? It might help you to see, not as a metaphor, but see why Paul used this to describe. Because he's well protected, right? The knight? Is he well protected when he goes out to fight?
If you look at a knight, the way the knights, a knight would dress to go to war, the gear he had on was basically useless because he was more of a hindrance than he was anything else.
Yeah, but we're not looking at their actual product. It's a theology that you're looking at so that you can see how God wants you to protect yourself. Using the tools of the heavenly forces against the darkness. It's not a natural shield that's going to shield you. It's the shield of faith. It's believing that God has surrounded you with angelic hosts, that they are more than able to protect you against all the dark forces of hell trying to destroy you. And to believe that that is truth. That's what he's saying. Believe. Okay? And then the helmet of salvation is your thought life. That your mental capacity is covered by the Word of God and by His presence over your own mind. And if you're going into a wrong thought pattern and you're starting to feel depressed, what do? You should get a clue. Okay? I had a person telling me that they had a phone call. Okay? And they were ready to come to church. But that phone call caused something to happen. What do you think the fruit was? They looked at their bed, crawled back into bed, never came out. Never got to church. What kept them away?
Negative force.
The phone call activated some darkness, and depression came in, and they began to feel sorry for themselves, and went into the bed and never came out until late. Where all of what they should have gained was stolen from them. See? So when the enemy comes to steal, He is stealing information so that you don't have a survival technique.
What's the armor that you really put on, Victor? It's really Jesus, right?
Amen.
Really? Your covering is Christ.
You're going to think like him?
It. Nothing can stand against that. He's using something here probably for that people of that era to relate to.
Exactly. Yeah, people for that era.
Right. Yeah. If it doesn't work for you, then...
We're not of that era, and I know knowing battle and everything else, that what they used, what was considered armor, wasn't, and I guess that's where I run into the problem, because what they're using to emphasize something so that we can relate to, I can't, because what they're using as an example...
Can you take something maybe from the war in Iraq that you can begin to see how the soldier protects himself in Iraq and substitute it?
You know, my protection, I feel, sometimes I don't get a chance to say the whole armor of God, but...
It's not a formula. It's not a formula.
I know. It's just that I do say it in the morning. I have a prayer that I go... But I always plead the blood of Jesus over my mind, my body, and my soul.
Yeah.
Before I leave the house, even. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, when I know there's a phone call that's going to irritate me, I plead the blood of Jesus over myself and over this phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that it's not an irritation to me.
Right.
I know what's an irritation to me, so I got to fight against it with the blood of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And that's my thing that I do all the time. Even when I get in the car, I plead the blood of Jesus over my car.
Okay, so you found a solution that works for you.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what Gail is trying to bring out. If he can come to something that will, give him understanding of how that the principle... Paul is writing in 2,000 years ago, if a man was really wearing these instruments, he had a form of protection for that day.
Yeah.
It may not have been useful in a sense, but it was what was available against arrows, against darts, and it was functioning at that day. Today, we have people who use a spacesuit to go out into space. Why? Because if you don't,
you die.
So if you imagine in your own mind that these instruments are instruments that are spiritual in concept, not natural, obviously, then you'll get an understanding of the God of heaven is trying to use something that Paul is able to tell these people, get a clue. These are forces that are interested in destroying you. You have an ability from God's word to defend yourself and to protect yourself. How did Jesus get through his 40 days and 40 nights in the desert after the Lord brought him in there to be tempted?
He spoke the word.
What is the sword of the Spirit?
The word.
So how do you use what Jesus did to confer it to today's language? What if you had a laser beam? Would that be more powerful than a regular sword?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why don't you use a laser beam? See, there's the new youth Bibles that they have. Some of the terms are changed so that the kids get a clue of what it means. And that makes a big, big difference because they're accustomed to street language, okay? And they're using some of the street language to transfer the thought pattern so that they can adapt to what God is really saying. See, God is always trying to reveal himself to us. His purpose is to get us to protect ourselves. In that particular chapter, he's trying to say, wake up, there's darkness out there, you need to do something about it. Now, how you proceed to use the word as a tool, use the promises of God as a covering, the blood is one of them, okay? And if you have that knowledge, then you go forward. And not to let the trickery of deception try to get to you. Because he's provided that we have this ability. I remember at one point I said to the Lord, do I need to say this prayer every day? Because I found it after a season, I kind of knew already. Do I need to? He says, did you take it off when you went to bed? Well, obviously, my first thought was, oh my God, I could never sleep with all that harness on me. You know, I wouldn't be able to roll over in bed. All right? With all this metal stuff, and especially the mail. You know, the union suit there that's made out of this metal. I says, no. He says, well, then why take it off? If you didn't take it off, why do you need to put it back on the next morning? Oh, just thank me for my protection. It's already there. It's spiritual anyway. It's not real. It's, you know, physical. It's not something tangible that you can touch, but it's spiritual. When we say Jesus is my rear guard, what does that mean? Is he literally standing behind you? No, but he's got angelic hosts protecting you. How come you're still alive? Well, why did that make you giggle? How come you're still alive, man? Tell us.
I question that myself.
He must have a purpose. Amen? I remember many years ago, one of the first times, because there's been many, many attempts on my life. And some of them I'm aware of and some of them I'm not. And there was a prophetic person in the room and they called me forth and they began to describe some of the things that God has done to protect me, to keep me alive. And of course, some of them I knew. They were very real because I went through them. Okay? And he also pointed out, he said, there are many other attempts that were diverted that you have no idea of. And that was like, okay. In other words, God has been protecting me with his angels right down the line. And he's been protecting you because you're still here. And he's going to continue to protect you. So it's not the ritual that you need to say this prayer every single day, but it's a reminder, okay, that you are protected, that your battle is not against flesh and blood. Yes, he's going to use people.
Do you know what righteousness is, Victor? Do you know why righteousness protects you? Maybe that's a little bit of the root of your problem. If you don't have a comprehension of, for instance, what righteousness, how that protects you, and how the power is saying, lift up over all the shield of faith. How powerful is that? Just how powerful is your faith? If that's what he's using here to demonstrate to you, he's demonstrating to you that's exceedingly great power. How powerful is the truth?
Truth is only as powerful as what you know it to be.
Yes.
All right. That's a good point.
Yes.
What about Job's righteousness that you talked about earlier? Did Job declare consistently to his friends he was righteous before God?
What he felt and what he understood.
Okay. Why was he declaring that I'm righteous? He was declaring it in faith, wasn't he? His buddies didn't believe him. His buddies thought God was mad at him. Right? Now, was he also fearful? Okay. So now God wanted to get rid of that, didn't he? And he did. He found a way to get rid of it so that he would be able to lift Job higher once he got through the test. So the reason and the purpose for every test that we go through is for God to lift us higher. It's not to destroy us. It's not to tear us apart. It's to build in us the inner fortitude to be able to stand in God's presence and to stand in God's righteous understanding that he, by his blood, has already cleansed me. I am holy before him, and I need to really acknowledge that I am and declare it. That was hard for me for a while because I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I'm righteous. I'm 100% righteous. Are you kidding? I couldn't declare it. I could not do it. You know what I did? I wrote it down. I wrote it down and I began to declare it. Okay? You see all these? I typed it out, and I began to declare this every single day out loud. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, meaning my inner spirit man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, and enlighten the eyes of my heart with understanding, so that I can know in my experience the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards men within me. Because I choose to believe nothing less, Father, that what you brought into Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead is happening to me now. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 1, 2 and 3. So it's kind of synopsized. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to me, so that in all things at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good works. Deuteronomy 28:12, the Lord will open up for me his rich treasure house of the heavens, and I will lend to many nations and borrow from none. He will make me a head and not a tail. Deuteronomy 8, verse 16, but remember the Lord my God, for it is he who gives me the ability to produce wealth, and to so confirm his covenant, which he swore to my forefathers as it is today. Psalms 37. I commit my way to the Lord. I trust in him, and he will do this. He will make my righteousness shine like the dawn. He will make my righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of my cause like the noonday sun. God's blessings of prosperity belong to me, and I will receive them, and the symptoms of lack have no rights to operate against me. Lack, I resist you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to flee from me. I have been redeemed from the curse of the poverty of lack, and I will not tolerate you in my life anymore. Now, Galatians 13:13. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed me in the order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith I might receive the promises of the Holy Spirit. And I reject the curse of sickness and disease in Jesus' name, for he bore the curse for me. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the financials that I need every month, and I command you to come to me, and I take my place, and I take dominion over that which I need. I command it to come in Jesus' name. Ministering spirits, you go and cause it to come. So I'm activating the angels to do the work that I can't do. From this day, I am a master of the forces of darkness because of the life of God. The ability of God and the wisdom of God and the mercy of God are indwelling inside of me. In Christ, I'm a new creation. I have eternal life, God life, his nature, his abilities, and are all resident inside of me. I am absolutely redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Why did I write it down? To convince myself. I didn't believe any of this. I didn't believe a piece of it. I had to make an effort in my own way to survive the darkness that was trying to overwhelm me. I can't tell you how many of these I gave away. But I have that copy left, and I remind myself periodically. I go back and I'll reread it again. Why? Because it tries to what? Take it away.
I think every time you do it, it goes down deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yes, it does.
And eventually, it uproots all the...
It shakes the garbage.
Right. And so the garbage has to leave. It
yep.
has to. There's no option left. It has to go.
Now, the reason that I declared it is to show you the procedure of taking a choice. When you hit a particular scripture that does not match your thinking, okay? Like your sister just said. When it doesn't match your thinking, you need to change it. You need to say, okay, God, get me to understand what I'm reading right now and make it adaptable so that I can really understand what you want me to do, Lord. I can't see or understand this. Make it clear. And he will. Now, it doesn't always happen overnight. I hate to say it, but it doesn't. Sometimes it takes a season or two before you finally get to realize, oh my God, I used to think this way, but now I think differently.
For instance, Victor, of righteousness in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it gives you a very strong definition of righteousness. So if that particular comparison there isn't quite clear to you, you could go back to the definition in 2 Corinthians 5:21 and say, oh, here's another definition of righteousness.
Why don't you read it to him?
For, it says our, I put the word minor, but for
good
our
for you.
Our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Now that's the Amplified, so all that won't be in another Bible. But virtually what happened is Jesus made an exchange.
Amen.
He took my sin and gave me his righteousness. I can't ask for anything any more powerful than that.
Did that help?
And I'm just looking here now. I underlined righteousness quite a bit myself. In chapter 6 and verse 7, by speaking the word of God, by speaking the word of truth in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in my right hand, and for the left hand to defend. There's worded right there. That's in 2 Corinthians 6, 7. It calls the righteousness a weapon. That's pretty powerful and doesn't go into anything description of armor.
Right.
It's a weapon you have. That some demon is trying to convince you that you're not right before God, Jesus gave me his righteousness. It's a gift from him. Where is that? That's in Romans 2, isn't it? Romans
5. 5. I think it's Romans 5.
Romans 5. It tells you where God gave you the gift.
Yeah.
You begin to develop this, Victor, so that you get an understanding of righteousness, that you can use it as a defensive. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness.
Free gift.
Free gift. There's my weapon. There's my weapon. I can, a demon starts to attack me, hold it. Romans 5:17 says, and you can quote it. It says right here, I receive the gift of righteousness. So that the demon cannot do any damage to you by trying to convince you that you're not right with God. It says right here that God gave me a gift. And the more you ingest that scripture and keep speaking it and to focus on it, whatever is in you that's struggling with that has to go. Because this is the power right here.
What was that one?
That's Romans 5:17. Quite a bit of Romans chapter 5.
I was just going to say, Romans, all of the chapter 5 is very powerful.
Very powerful to do with righteousness.
You know why? Because it gives you God's opinion of what you already have versus what you may have believed you have or lack. Sometimes we think we lack something or we don't have something. And that's the way the enemy is able to deceive us.
So if the enemy's trying to bring you down by making you think that you're not quite right with God, I don't quite get it yet, that's your ammunition. I call it ammunition.
Yes, it is ammunition.
Exactly what I say. Somebody's talking, saying, no, this is my ammunition. I got to use my ammunition. I've got to fire it. That's what it's for. I've got to, and that's where I make my stand. I make my stand using my ammunition that God's given me.
And I would also say to you, sometimes you need to do this out loud. You need to hear yourself speak it. Because Romans 10 and 9 and 10 says, if you speak with your mouth and you believe with your heart, salvation comes. Well, it's not just salvation of your spirit man. It's the salvation of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So all that can be changed just by declaring out of your mouth, I am righteous. I am 100% righteous. That's why I wrote down those scriptures, because I had to convince me first. I couldn't convince anybody else. I didn't believe it. And I told the Lord, I confess it. I don't believe this stuff. And I confessed it. I says, Lord, I'm in unbelief. I confess it as sin before you. I'm asking you to make this a reality so I can defend myself against the darkness, against the bad thoughts, against the war games of life. Because it comes at you. It'll come at you at a restaurant. It'll come at you driving down the road. It'll come at you with your family situation. It comes from all directions.
And you leave yourself open, defenseless.
Plus two. You see, let's say I tell Bob Trump he's no good. He can't walk. He's got a problem with his feet. And he starts checking out his legs. Oh my God, maybe you're right. What happens? He's now in submission to me. Right? Now, if I'm a pretty good, powerful demon, I'm going to start giving him cramps in his legs. And he's going to start feeling pain there. And there's no actually problem yet, but I can activate, because that's what they do. They'll activate a pain space in you. Now what do? Well, you've got a pain. What do you do with the pain? Oh, well, maybe I've got arthritis. That's the next thought. Now let's say Bob starts declaring, I've got this problem. I've got arthritis in my leg.
How can you say you have arthritis in your leg if you don't know if you do or not?
Well, I'll tell you the next thing that he'll do. He'll send you to the doctor. He'll get you to take an x-ray. And the x-ray will confirm that there's damage there. They'll say, oh, there it is. Now what do?
Take care of the problem.
How?
The way...
Well, you have a choice. You can go by the medical field, or you can go by the spiritual field. Which one are you going to choose? Well, you're a spiritual being, aren't you? So if you're a spiritual being, what field do you want to play in?
Spiritual field.
Why? Because this one will declare you free. The other will be a sustenance. Okay? I had a person years back who had been declared, and it was acknowledged that all these things were happening to them, and they were going to have to give themselves a sustenance of medication every single week, week after week for the rest of their lives. And I said to them, what do you believe? Oh, I can survive this. I mean, I'm doing okay. I says, you've already made your decision. Enjoy the trip. Another person was listening to the same identical information, and they were fighting something else. They didn't tell me what it was, but they decided, I'm going to take God's word. I'm going to start defending myself. I'm not buying what the physical evidence is saying. Okay? I'm going to fight and declare that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm going to declare Psalm 103. God forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he what? Took my sin upon a tree? Mm-hmm. Why? He made me what? Whole. Okay? Guess which one got healed?
The one that proclaimed what the word of the Lord says. Mm-hmm.
No, different than setting up your defense mechanism against the darkness that wants to overrule your mind and emotions. The salvation of your soul will happen when you declare what God says about you. And you will become a different person.
Absolutely.
You will no longer be the defeated person. You will become the victorious victor that you are. And it's a choice we make. Look at Jesus. He's coming into the neighborhood. Lazarus is as dead as a doornail. He can't have any faith for himself, can he? He stinks. Two of the girls. Well, if you would have showed up 3 weeks ago or a week ago when we first talked to you, why didn't you come? Where is she? She's the person that's stuck in her flesh, correct? And she is so distraught. She is so upset because he didn't show. The other one,
he did show. She just was ungrateful that because she didn't show.
She wanted him to show up before he died.
Yeah, right.
When he was sick.
But the other one says, but I know. See, the other sister, I know that if you ask, in other words, it's still not too late. And then he tests her, doesn't he? He says, then get them to move the stone away. And then she says, oh my God, it's going to stink. But she still activated her faith and passed beyond the stench. And who came out of the grave? Why? One believed and one looked at the circumstances. It's the same scenario. It's the same scenario when, you know, many, many times I had to say, in fact, my friend right here, okay? He put me on Prilosec. I think it was, right? Stomach problems.
But your memory is clearer than
that. Well, it's because it happened to me.
The number of people you were dealing with.
Yeah, well, that's it.
I have a memory of this.
All right. But anyway, I think it was the purple pill. Is that what it is?
That was the original. Sure.
Okay. So now, I've been fighting for months. My stomach is not behaving. I've got excess acid. It's not working well. Okay? So I really get a nudge from the Lord. Call up Bob. Go get an appointment. And, of course, I called him Dr. Bob. And I go in there, I explain the symptoms, and he says, oh, he says, we can give you something that will help you there. He says, but, you know, you're going to need to keep this for a while because this is... And I think you might have mentioned that once you start on this, you may have to continue, you know? It's okay. But I said, I think it's only for a season. So I was trying to be nice. And so I remember starting in the spring, and then my digestive tract cleaned up, and I might have had a little tiny ulcer because it was pain, and I had told him that, and he says it should take care of that, and it did. Well, I can remember it was late August, and I went to go to the bathroom to go take the pill in the medicine cabinet, and the Holy Spirit says, you don't need to anymore. Oh, well, that's cool. So I didn't. Well, a month went by, and I didn't need him. A couple months later, I had another checkup with him, and he says, oh, by the way, he said, do you need any more refills? Because it's written on the list of what he's, you know, given me. Nope, don't need them anymore. The Lord healed me. Oh, he said, okay, that's cool. And that was it. But I've got other people that are still taking the same pill, and it's 20 years, 30 years. It's up to them. I trusted that God would finish the healing. Yes, he used the medicine. It's okay. I'm not against doctors, not against anything that God uses to get people well. But the most important thing that I believe out of this lesson today is your battle is not against flesh and blood.
You got some ammunition here, Victor. Powerful ammunition. And the rest of that armor there, you know, you're just looking up other scriptures on faith. Did God give you faith? Did it come in with a package? Yeah, it did. So when it says saving faith, hey, if the enemy comes against you in that, that's what God says.
Any questions?
Sure.
Go for it.
Well, this is just sort of practical concern.
Yes.
Yeah. Contestations or attempts to undermine or be the quote unquote devil's advocate.
Right.
Puns intended. As I understand it, there are a host of gifts that are available for all of us, whether they're prophetic or words of knowledge or healing,
right.
Or speaking in tongues and the like.
Right.
So practical question number one, we're reading Ephesians, and you're correctly pointing out what Paul's saying, and you know, one of the weapons available to us is to really look toward that moment to take time for prayer and
yep.
use prayer to its advantage.
Right.
But to quote unquote pray in the spirit.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a practical question for me. since that part of my repertoire doesn't seem highly developed.
Okay, sure.
I understand I can pray and not pray in tongues.
Right.
Okay, and certainly I'm not limited to that.
Right.
But does that become then, is that really, I expect it's not utilizing to full advantage rapidly available to us if I'm not able to access it. I also understand that I can pray for that.
Uh-huh.
So that we can take advantage of it. But I'm wondering, since all of us don't possess all of those gifts, what do those that don't have such a gift do to supplant or to assist?
Well, as far as in the tongues, one of the things that I know helped me tremendously is when you go to the book of Jude. St. Jude writes a letter, it's only one page long, actually, okay? And it says that I'd like to kind of, let's say, give you a little bit of a background on it. In verse 18, he says, they told you beforehand in the last days, in the end times, that's in parentheses, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. Okay? Verse 19 says, it is these who are setting up distinctions and causing division, merely sensual creatures, okay, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual law. So there's some that will never believe where you're coming from. But you, so if he's talking to me in verse 20, I better pay attention. But you, that should be a real star here next to that. Beloved, build yourself up. What does it mean to build myself up? If I'm physically down, I'm going to have therapy. I'm going to have food choices to rebuild. You're going to put me on vitamins. You're going to give me a couple of ways of getting my body built back up because I'm in trouble. Okay? Let's say you were in bed for a month. Try to get out of bed and run. You're not going to run very far. Okay? You're going to have to build yourself up. Well, he says, in your most holy faith, so it's going to activate your faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit will activate and cause all these things to happen to you. Now, I'll give you an example. The very first few times that I traveled to Canada to go to do ministry up there, one of the things that would happen is I would get into all kinds of war games on the way up, even on the road. All kinds of things would happen. Because Kim was weak. Spiritually, I was weak. I didn't know I was weak, but I was. So all kinds of war games would take place, and I'm not going to go into the details. Finally, the Holy Spirit said to me, would you wake up? Would you build yourself up before you leave? Oh. If you're going to go do a running a marathon, what are you going to do? Train for it. Same thing here. You're going to run a race with the enemy? You're going to train. You want to win. You want to be the winner. You don't want to be the loser. So God was saying to me, build yourself up. Pray in the Spirit. So I began to activate on that. And I began to take time and pray in the Spirit. Sometimes it was just blah. And the emotions would, and the brain would say, oh, shut it down. But I didn't. I also found singing in the Spirit was easier for me. So I would put a CD on. I would let it go in English, but I would pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit with it. Just let my spirit man do. We've done that. We did it Sunday night. We sang in the Spirit. Why? Because it's going to build you up. It's going to make you spiritually strong. So you can fight the fight.
I completely understand it, except, it's not a faith thing here. I believe that's true. Mm-hmm. What I'm asking, though, is you're actually saying use the tool that I'm saying in my own personal experience I don't really have. I'm saying how does one receive a gift, open to the reception of the gift, how does one
gain those? All those gifts came with you, with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, now, how do you activate them from seed form? By, again, expressing yourself. I believe that you have that gift. And sometimes when you're under the anointing, I've seen you pray, and the new language does, maybe it's not very big, very developed, but you start with what you have. When I started, I had 4 syllables. That's all that would come out of my mouth. And I said, Lord, you know, this is so poor. And he reminded me of my son. The first 4 syllables were da-da and ma-ma. Did he quit? What do you do when your child is only able to do 4 syllables? You encourage him. And that's what I did. I finally took, because that's what came. I understood that I had to activate what I had. And for 6 weeks, that's all would come out. 4 syllables, I have shared that. You know, and I mean, it got monotonous. I'm not going to try to tell you that my brain didn't say, you know, I wish it would open up. But it didn't. Didn't open up for 6 weeks. But I didn't realize I was actually reacting to the negative garbage that was trying to stop me from ever developing what was inside. And then, when it did open up, it was like a flood. All kinds of things started to pour out of me. My wife, however, waited 5 years. But when she got it, she got a whole slew of languages. But it happened in one shot. She didn't have to go through the tests that I did. Why? Because everybody is different. Every one of us is different. So to activate what you have is probably the best way I could say. And if you don't have, maybe you need prayer. Sometimes we need to say, okay, I want more, Lord. Would you guys pray for me? What is that? That's humility. Yes.
It's just like what the Lord said. It says that the word being persistent in prayer for something you need or you have a need and to be persistent in prayer. Well, that's a form of prayer too, when you keep going to the Lord with it and do what you have. Pray what you have. And then the Lord will add it out.
Amen.
He did it to me. And that's why I'm saying that. But I was persistent because I wanted more of that.
Yeah.
I got it at a prayer meeting, and I thought it was so beautiful. And I heard the people around me all praying in tongues.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee, Lord, that's so beautiful. I'd like that. I'd like more of that.
Right.
I said, I had a few little words, you know. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't stop. I can pray any place over anything.
Yes.
And it's new words all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they mean, but the first word I remember getting, and then I said to the Lord, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the word even now, but it meant love.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, gee, Lord, you have so much love for me. You gave me the word love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful. And I love listening to people pray in tongues and sing in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you love it, the more the Lord gives you of it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, they think, oh, that's so strange. You know,
well, it is strange in a sense.
It is, but, you know, to me, it never hit me as strange.
Okay.
It always hit me as beautiful.
Good.
So, there's people that do feel it strange, and
you're right.
They say, oh, what is all this?
Yeah.
You know, they, some people actually think it's demonic.
They'll mock it, yes.
They're saying that. I said, well, I know it's not demonic.
Right.
I feel the love of God when you're praying in tongues or singing in tongues.
And is it, again, a practical question, is it, I think this is probably rhetorical, I think I'm pretty confident about the answer, but it's quite clear that many of us pray in tongues. Those that hear will not discern, and those that pray may not discern as well.
Correct.
And some have the gift of understanding of what that
yeah.
is.
Well, it's called interpretation.
Yeah.
Okay? And there are times that even today, I mean, we're talking 30 years here, 32 years actually, and there are times that I have no clue. There are other times that I'll know. There are other times that visions will come in the midst of, and I'm aware of what I'm doing. I'm aware of where I'm praying for. I can remember one time the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to just release your spirit right now. I want you to release your spirit now. And I'm in a car, I'm driving. So I shut the TV, or not the TV, but the radio off. And I began to just, you know, let my spirit go. And a dialect came out of me that was so intense. And I knew that I was praying for somebody in a foreign nation, and I kept saying, Lord, where am I? You know, my brain is functioning, my mouth is still praying, but my brain is saying, where am I praying for? And I knew that I was praying for some Japanese town. I had no, I just knew the dialect, it was for Japan. Now, have I ever been to Japan? I had no clue. Do I speak Japanese? Absolutely not. But how did I know? Inside a knowing, that's all I know. And the brain was satisfied with that. You know, wow. You know, you want me to pray for a town, and I mean, you know, fine.
You know that one time the Lord led me to pray in tongues, and the Lord actually showed me who I was praying for.
Great.
And I said, gee, I wonder what's happening out there. Well, then I found out through the paper what I was praying for. You know, who
yeah.
I was praying for.
Yeah.
And other times he shows me, he has me praying for somebody. And then I hear from them shortly afterwards.
Yes.
And I says, that's why I was praying for you at that time.
Amen.
I remember one time my son was at work. And the Lord had me look at the time. I looked at the time and I started praying in tongues. And the Lord showed me it was for my son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said to my when he came home, I says, David, did anything happen to you at work today? And he wasn't going to tell me because he didn't want me to worry. But then he says, my, he says, you know, he says, I was up on a ladder, and it was a tall ladder, because he was a plumber at the time. It was a tall ladder. He says he was working around pipes.
Yeah.
And he fell off the ladder, fell on his back, and he says, my, I says, was it cushioning? And he says, everybody was so concerned about me, they all came running towards me because they felt I broke my back.
Right.
Was on cement. And I says, you know what I saw? I saw like angels coming underneath him and protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
Cushioned his fall.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Ma, that's just the way it felt. But he says, I felt so high and on my back that everybody came running towards me because they thought I would broke my back.
Sure.
And I said, David, you're a walking miracle.
That's right.
Because, and you know, I felt, for some reason, I felt the cushion.
Yeah.
And And I just wanted to confirm it with him to see if he felt
it. Not only confirmed, but it also confirmed to his heart that where it came from.
He says, "My, you're right." He says, "Must have been the angels."
Yeah.
He says, "Because to everybody's conclusion, I would have broken my back."
Amen. But the Holy Spirit sent you to pray.
I'm being anointed even now.
Just by talking about it.
By talking about it, because it just left my mind, but yeah. I look at my son as a walking miracle anyway.
Well, there he is.
Know?
Good.
Because he's a walking miracle for me.
Amen.
Yes.
Does that help?
And
yes, helps the transmit on several levels. Probably the most important, which is it's one of these evidentiary confirmations.
Yes.
Legitimacy of the miracle. And I was thinking at the same time, this was a while ago, but you already know this is a culturally married.
Oh, yes.
Not talking about the biblical Mary.
You're talking Mary Chica.
Yeah.
Yes.
With her daughter at the time.
Exactly.
She wasn't the way she was aware that she needed to intercede.
Yep.
It wasn't from long after that she found her.
Just several hours.
What happened?
Oh, you may not know this one. Well, you know more details, but Mary's daughter, her then new boyfriend, were over at Cape Cod. They were following another car. There was a serious accident.
Oh.
Tremendously serious accident. The evidence of which suggested that she certainly should have been.
Yeah, she should have been crushed.
Dead.
The one that's in high school?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Palmer tracksuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she wasn't.
No,
yeah,
she had a few bruises.
She was bruised.
She was a few bruises on her leg.
And she had some black. She had some black and blues.
Though. Black and blues, which verified she got hit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't long after that I think Mary heard Pete and just been called or something.
Yeah.
And they were driving over to take them back.
Yeah, I went down with them in the middle of the night to. You know, so that they would be alone because they had no idea what they were going to land into. And so they picked me up and off we went to Boston. Well, to the Cape, I should say. Picked them up.
Another area.
Did anybody in the car get hurt?
No. Well, they got bruised, but, you know. Yeah.
Was it a big accident? Many cars?
No, just the two. But the vehicle came from across.
She brought a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, it was on the internet.
She brought us a picture of the car. Yeah.
It was pretty crunched.
It was crunched. It was bad.
One would look at the picture and say that nobody
wanted it. Yeah,
this past summer.
Yeah, a year ago.
Yeah.
I got an email yesterday from Francis Frangipani, and it's on, I sent a new copy. It's on the Lord's Prayer. I never knew this before. He made it very clear in this email that the Lord's Prayer is a militant prayer. It's a warrior's prayer. And I read that and I went, wow! All of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit was confirming it. I never looked at it that way. And I have a book on the Lord's Prayer, and I was just trying to read a few words in a very busy morning and confirm that when it says, "Thy kingdom come," the verb is in the beginning, thy, that's militant.
Yes.
That when you are spitting out that word, that's a warrior fighting. That's
exactly.
No little sitting in church saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That is for a militant warrior in the spirit.
Amen.
That spits that thing out.
Yep.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That word thy.
Yes, it's actually a declaring of war.
Yes.
I say that every night before I go to bed and every morning when I get up, before I get up, I say that prayer. And at night, I say, "Give me this night my daily sleep with no bad dreams or nightmares."
Good
and,
for you.
And then in the morning, I say, "Give me this day my daily health."
Yes.
And well, daily bread or daily health.
Yes.
I always ask for the health to do the things that you want me to do.
Amen.
And I go through the whole prayer. But
great.
In the beginning, I put, "Our Father which art in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. Hallowed be thy name."
Amen.
In you.
Well, you know, a copy if you'd like a copy of it.
I'm not sure it's not already coming to me.
Okay. If you get it from it, it's really most enlightening to look at that. And he said the Lord's Prayer is probably not the right name for it. He said it probably should have said the Disciples' Prayer.
Yes.
Because
he was teaching them.
Them.
Yes.
And he says that's different from just the Lord's Prayer. The Disciples' Prayer puts a different connotation on it.
Yep.
And
he was teaching them because they asked him how to pray.
Yes.
And when they asked him how to pray, he was telling them. But for me, because of my Catholic background, we had to learn that and it became a ritual.
Mm.
Our Father, right now, I'm now beginning to
That's my experience. Same thing.
Okay. Well, when at one point the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to personalize it.
That's what I've done.
Oh, boy. Do you know I couldn't recite it? I could not say the prayer because it wouldn't come out of my mouth. I would get like two or three, four or five words, five or six, and then I would get stopped and I don't get it. And I'd re-go through, oh, yeah, now I know the next. And it became my prayer. And I taught this to one of my wife's uncles who had gotten very, very ill. And so I'm telling you this for people who have a religious background. Mm-hmm. That may be the only word that they know from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, I taught this man because he was very bad. I mean, I remember we're driving him to the hospital. And I'm saying to him, Uncle, when you start fearing, if you have any kind of pressure or fear come upon you, or bad thoughts that come in, declare the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed, I prayed for him, we prayed together, and all the way up to the hospital, he had that impact. When he got in the hospital, he lost his mind. His mind was just 90% gone, but that other 10%, boom. Well, he got put into a nursing home. And when he was in the nursing home, he would say the Lord's Prayer all the time. Every person, there was another man in the room, and he was cussing and swearing, and all kinds of stuff was coming out of his mouth. And here's my uncle, our Father, hallowed be thy name. And he's over and over. Because my aunt said, I can't figure out what happened to your uncle. I said, aren't you glad? She says, well, I don't know about that poor guy next to him. That was marvelous miracle.
He used to wake up during the night, and I guess was saying it in his sleep.
Yeah.
He was saying, Nasa Pai,
in French.
French.
Excellent.
And he died shortly after that, but... For a whole week, my mother said, he used to wake me up because he used to say it so loud.
Excellent.
And I knew he was sleeping,
yep.
But he was saying the Our Father in French.
Good.
He kept repeating it.
Sure.
Sometimes he'd repeat it two, three times
excellent.
During the night.
Excellent. That's an excellent tool.
Mm.
So that may help.
Yeah, I think those are some very practical.
Well, there's simple things that you can use, and when you minister to somebody that's coming from a religious background, this may be the only word of God that they know by heart.
Yeah.
But they know it. So use the tool you have.
Mm-hmm.
That helps.
That's kind of meeting them right where they're at, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That you're speaking, that's what I need for my mother. I've been asking and asking and asking.
Well, there you go.
What? That's it. That's something she can relate to.
And she can speak it.
And she can speak
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Lift up every member of the House of Prayer. We lift up the community leaders in our area. We ask that you would touch every single mayor in every city in the Western Hemisphere. And we're believing, Lord, that Massachusetts is going to be on the map because of your name, because of your mighty war that you are winning, Father, against all the darkness that would try to overwhelm this Western Massachusetts area. We're believing for signs and wonders. We're believing for the building up of the body of Christ. We're believing, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful unity that you are building in the body. And we're grateful, Father, that you are the author and finisher of everything that's going on in our lives. Now, Father, lift up my brothers and lift up my sisters, Father. that they would become the vessels of honor that you have already done it in the realm of the Spirit, but that they can put on this truth and wear it well as they go forth in the times and in the hard spaces that they may need to be walked in. And for my brother, Lord, that you would just rebuild him. Yeah. Rebuild the inner man. Rebuild the heart and rebuild the emotions so that he can be that mighty warrior that you've called him to be. In Jesus'
Thank
precious
you,
name.
Thank
for our
you.
Sisters, Father, especially the ones that are struggling, and Judy right now with the circumstances with Bob and the loss of their sister, we just ask for special grace, Father God. We're believing for the signs and wonders to take place so that even right now that Judy would be a vessel of grace and a mighty, mighty light in maybe different parts of darkness may be exposed. Give her the sustenance that she needs. Give Bob the ability, Father, to just trust your Holy Spirit in a mighty, mighty way. Let your angels guard over every single member of the house of prayer and those that we promise to pray for in our families and those that we love, those that are in hospitals, nursing homes, and incarcerated. Just touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. The babies especially, Lord, the little ones that need help, continue to sustain them. In Jesus' name. Any additions? I want to lift up Bill, the general manager of this hotel, and all the men and women that are working diligently to get this place cleaned up because of the owner coming here tomorrow. And Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work, that you're going to bless this manager, Lord, that he will know that he's been prayed for. And for Jim, the assistant manager, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work.
Yeah.
And the young men that you have brought to the Lord and that know you, that they will get to know you even more. And that the Holy Spirit will sustain this owner, Lord, and let him see that he needs to invest in this house, invest in this place, so that he and those that he has under him may know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Deliverer. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Because you didn't bring us here just for ourselves. You brought us here as a testimony that they may see the light and that we will have preferred treatment because of you, Lord. Not because of anyone else, but because
Amen.
Of you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Any other additions? Then you better share some hugs, because that's your job.